Get the mental energy and focus you need with Magic Mind. Head to magicmind.com/gators. Use code GATORS20 to get up to 56% off your first subscription.
Gators Breakdown. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters. You can find me on social media at GatorDave_SEC. And here we are continuing our spring practice coverage. Gators back on the field for the third spring practice after spring break, a week off. Now back at it right here. Get spring football back in the groove here. We'll be nonstop until the spring game. So here we go. Plenty to get into on this episode. We'll get into the offensive line, Rob Sell, and Jake Slaughter, the starting center for the Gators. They spoke to the media late on Tuesday, so we'll go over what they had to say. And then we'll also get to a bit of recruiting news, mainly focused on the offensive side, but a lot to get into as far as recruiting goes, kind of update there as we're going through spring practice as well. So hit that like button, subscribe to Gators Breakdown if you haven't done so yet, right here on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. But when you subscribe, of course, on YouTube, you get those notifications when there's a new episode. If you can't, this time of year, sometimes they're live, sometimes they're not. It's just a crazy time with spring practice and spring breaks and all that stuff going on. So a little bit different this time of year, of course. But leave a comment, all that. The comments, the likes, the subscribes go a long way in supporting Gators Breakdown. You can leave donations right here on YouTube as well. Or you can join Gators Breakdown Plus if you want more. You get more out of it. You get the Discord, of course, starting at $3 a month. You get extra episodes, chats, all that good stuff. Link is in the description to join Gators Breakdown Plus. So, as I said, spring practice, recruiting, that's what we'll get into right here on this episode of Gators Breakdown. Let's get to some practice notes first on this third spring practice for the Gators. Defensive lineman Joey Slackman and wide receivers Chimray Dike were both full participants in this practice, coming out of their non-contact jerseys. So Joey Slackman, so far, three practices in the backfield a lot, what I'm hearing, and good to get DK back on the field. I think he's going to be an integral part of this wide receiver group. If with, of course, his background with Graham Mertz a couple seasons ago at Wisconsin, bringing that to the table, one of the more experienced wide receivers Florida has, even though it wasn't in a Gator uniform. Some pretty good numbers a couple years ago at Wisconsin. So him, Trey Wilson, of course, and then Jackson. I think you got to those three guys right now. I'd say you're probably top three, given the numbers a couple years ago at Wisconsin. Wilson, of course, last year, and then Khalil Jackson. And the highlight catches he made last year, as I said, at wide receiver, we need Andy Jean. We need Aiden Mizell to come up and push those guys, Marcus Burke, Quavion Frazier, to break through. But DK's back on the field now to create some competition in that room. Edge player Jack Pyburn was on the field for the first time this spring in a non-contact jersey. So no positional drills for him, just off to the side with a trainer. And go back to wide receiver right quick. Andy Jean was in a no-contact jersey as he nursing minor hamstring, so nothing major there. But kind of going along with some notes, hearing a lot on the two true freshman running backs, Kanan Daniels, Jaden Ball, as early standouts of spring practice so far. Of course, that third spot opened up a bit with the precautions of Cam Carroll's injury, not putting too much on him. So good to hear that freshman right there on the offensive side. I figured one of those guys with that third spot kind of open, we'd hear a lot of them. They need the reps as these early enrollees, true freshmen. So no surprise, but hearing both doing pretty well right now. And then no surprise, Trey Wilson looking like he's taking the steps to be the Gators' top option at wide receiver. Remember, he didn't go through spring practice last year. He was a summer enrollee. So him going through a spring practice should really help his development. And then with him, here's an announcement. Trey Wilson will be on Gators Breakdown next week. So we'll get to hear from the top option at the wide receiver spot for the Gators, the playmaker himself, thanks to Florida Victorious. We'll be right here on Gators Breakdown next week. So looking forward to that. Offensive line group, they've been impressive as well. No, it's only three practice. three practices so far, pretty much underwear practice right now. Not a lot going on. You know, of course, hard to gauge much. That's where we'll go this episode of Gators Breakdown, but hard to gauge much from those guys in the limited media window we get. No full pads, 11 on 11, but there does seem to be some hope. Does seem to be some optimism around this position group. So let's get started with co-offensive coordinator and offensive line coach Rob Sell.
They're a hungry group. You know, they're a group that wants to come to work every day. There's no egos in there. They're a pleasure to coach. It really is. It's a new year. It's a new group. Those young two groups that we recruited, two classes, are now older and bigger and stronger. You know, that I think we hit on all those guys. They have the intangibles you're looking for, the big guys that can bend and move. And I really do like the two guys that we got in the portal, Devin and Brandon. Mm-hmm. They got really good character. They're really good people, and they're really good players too.
What do you see from Brandon particularly? I mean, he's pretty experienced and kind of a critical position you guys really need.
Long and athletic. He can slide his feet. You know, he's played both. San Diego State played both left and right, but we have him at right now, and he adds some length and athleticism to that position. So we're able to move Damian into guard, and it's where he's more suited for.
How's he doing? Done in that transition, moving from tackle to guard.
Good. You know, he's done a really good job of taking care of his body. He's lost some weight. He's doing really good. You know, had two practices in, had spring break, and then came back today. But moving around well in there, he has power, you know, that's where he's suited. So we're really excited about him at that position.
Is he more of a straight-on blocker? Is that why he's more suited there? The guy that slides out, et cetera, like that?
Yeah, he's just a bigger guy, has a lot of mass. You know, I think right now he's like 350, 354, something like that. But he can knock a three technique back, right, and can slide his feet, and then he can run. So when it comes to outside zone and doing the things we like to do, but he's more suited there.
What's it looking like at the other guard opposite
here? Right now we got Najee playing left guard, Najee Harris. He's doing a really good job. You know, he played a lot of snaps last year. And then we got Christian Williams backing him up as well.
Yep. What is Austin being out? What kind of competition has that created at tackle and just getting some other guys in there to get some looks?
Yeah, I mean, even if Austin was back, we have tackle depth now, which we haven't had in the past, which is, it gives you so many more variables to get a starting lineup. Who's the best five? Like, you know, last year, we had so many different lineups that it was what it was, you know. And so right now we got, you know, six, seven tackles that we can count on to go play winning football. Caden Jones is a young guy. It's going to be a really good player. Bryce Lovett can play tackle. You know, it's just hard to play as freshmen. You know, it really is. You know, a small handful can do it, but we got more tackle depth. You got Devin, you got Cam Waits, who's done a good job losing weight. Right now he's at left tackle. Brandon's at right. So we have tackle depth.
Got tackle depth. And look, there were some questions that we had along this offensive line, and Rob Sell answered how those new faces, how those new roles are really setting up for the Gators, and kind of a revelation there that Cam Waits on the left side. Kind of thought maybe he would be the backup on the right side. Maybe Devin Manuel would be taking the starting reps at the left side, but from what I can gather from there, Cam Waits on the left side, Brendan Crenshaw-Dixon on the right side, Devin Manuel back up there, Austin Barber nursing injury right now, not going through spring practice. So to kind of continue what Rob Sell said, he did go on to say last year it is what it was, of course. We had injuries, had to move guys around, just hung on the best we could. Now says they have more bullets in the gun and have options for who are the best five, kind of extending what he just said there. And he really made it sound like, to me, the floor of this group with me will be much higher because of the depth this group has in his eyes. I'm not sure how high the ceiling is. That's still my biggest question. I do think they will be better, given the transfer portal acquisitions. I was high on that going back to when they got him. No surprise there if you've listened to the episode recently. But you know, I'm still not sure how high the ceiling is, but it's got to be better. The floor's got to be better than what it was last season just by going and getting who they got, the experience from last season, as well as the guys who returned from last year's offensive line, Jake Slaughter at center, Najee Harris getting a whole lot of snaps at freshman. So bringing in those two transfer tackles, that creates competition that just was not there a season ago. Or if you did have it a season ago, it was guys who really weren't ready to or should have been playing in that role to begin with. Crenshaw Dixon on the right side right now, and Cam Waits on the left side, and Barber limited. Remember, Waits a year ago was coming off that Achilles injury, was back sooner than I expected last season, so I don't even know how fully healthy he was. You kind of heard Rob Stale explain just kind of some of the issues, and maybe, you know, I won't say they rushed him back, but you know, maybe not 100%, and he's going out there and having to put together some snaps, coming off an Achilles injury. Who knows how limited he really was last year. So now, you know, back this year, body's in better shape to now go compete. Throw in Devin Manuel, and that, there's four tackles by the time the season rolls around that should be an upgrade from last year. I got to believe Najee Harris can provide at least the same level at guard as last season, but you know, him at left guard may be an upgrade by the time the season ends, hopefully sooner than that. He played a little last season. He's now taking over for the transferring Richie Leonard. But the biggest mystery on the inside will be moving Damian George to right guard. If this offensive line is to take a step, George can't be the liability he was last season at the tackle spot. He's got to be a better guard, a much better guard, than he was a tackle last year. And the thought, we kind of thought, even dating back to late last season, that this move could eventually happen. Just seemed like he was out of place at tackle. But as Rob Stale just pointed out, they just didn't have many options last year, so he was playing out of place. Billy Napier mentioned it as well. You heard Seth and I talk about it a few weeks ago, Seth Varnador. Billy Napier mentioned it in one of his recent coaching clinics that basically they had a guard playing tackle. So now Damian George, a better fit at guard, and you got some tackles through the transfer portal that should upgrade what this offensive line is. So the floor is higher, no doubt about it. Just the moves alone make the floor higher. How much better can they be? How much better do they need to be? I think we know a pretty good bit. So by adding transfers, developing players, shuffling roles so guys can play one position or a better spot, you can see this offensive line take a much-needed jump. For me, this is year three. Development is the biggest key for me. Because the recruiting hasn't been at a high level for this group. Many of the guys they are counting on are transfers. Crenshaw Dixon, Manuel, George will all be relied on heavily for starting roles. George transferred in last year, but you're looking at least two starters, Crenshaw Dixon and George, along the offensive line that were transfers in the last couple of years. Manuel may start at some point, will definitely be the main backup at tackle. So three big portal acquisitions the last few years or last couple of years that have to play big roles. They have to be relied on. Waits came in as a young transfer from Louisiana, of course, so I throw him more into the high school recruited guys because he's been here, transferred with Billy Napier from Louisiana. So you throw him in. He was a young player at the time as well. So I throw him in with those high school recruited players and the players that were already on their roster that, you know, we need to see this two offensive line coach system pay off. They're going to continue with it. Of course, we know that with the recent hires. Barber needs to be developed for better play at left tackle. Najee Harris in his second season at left guard, we need to see him take a jump. Roderick Kearney backing up Jake Slaughter. And we also need to see a Caden Jones, Bryce Lovett, Christian Williams develop. So then the drop-off doesn't need to be seen as so steep when those guys come in. Of course, those guys weren't coming in and competing for starting jobs. That's no knock on them that we haven't seen so much from them yet. So, but when they signed, development was the key. You know, Sale even discussed a freshman a bit. And it isn't fair to any of those guys, but he did mention my guest last week on Gators Breakdown, Noel Portnyagin, as a reminder of Osiris Torrance. Now, I'm not taking that to mean he's going to go on and start 13 or 14 games like true freshman Osiris Torrance did. But if you know, he's the hit they think he is, then he should develop into a nice player rather quickly. And maybe he's someone we see on the inside similar to Najee Harris last season. But development's got to be the key. You know, it's year three. You've stuck with this two offensive line coach system. Haven't recruited the best. So development was going to be the key to unlock those players. This is year three. We got to see the recruits, the young transfer, Cam Waits, all the guys that were on the roster from Mullen, like Austin Barber. It's got to pay off. The development has to pay off in year three. This, if you were counting on development, this is the year that we are supposed to see that. Hopefully we do. In one place we have seen development pay off, that was at center last season. Kingsley Aguacan fighting the injuries opened the door for Jake Slaughter at the center spot. And after a slow start, Slaughter proved to be a reliable anchor for this offensive line. Here's Rob Sale and Slaughter on his progression, how he got better last season, and the offensive line from Jake Slaughter's eyes.
He's just a great, great leader, does everything the right way, communicates, you know, he has presence in there, takes a lot off of Graham's plate, calling the front, giving the mic ID. Obviously, Graham has the trump card to check the play however we want, but Jake just does a really good job, makes everybody around him better, and the communication from inside out, and Rod's doing a really good job pushing him. We had all the trust and confidence in Jake, and, you know, he just, like you said, he got better and better. You know, he really didn't have much experience before that. You know, in Kingsley battled coming back, he was in, out of the lineup type deal, and Jake really got better, you know, every single time. You know what you're going to get with Jake. That's what I like. But the ceiling's really high for Jake.
There's growing pains. Like, yeah, your first game experience, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be an easy thing. And going into every week, I can't credit, you know, coaches and guys in the offensive line room enough, you know, helping me out, talking me through things. Kingsley was a big part. Austin Barber was a big part. You know, everybody around me helped me out. And that was, I felt like I was able to make improvements because of the guys who poured into me.
When did you feel like it was really starting to click?
Every week it just kept getting better and better for me. It's one of those things like you can anticipate, you can see better, you can have an idea of what's going on before it happens. So, I mean, it just kind of stayed at a steady angle going up, in my opinion, how I felt.
Is it true that part, you know, you hear this comment, the game slows down. Does it slow down?
I'm sorry, Kachal. Yes, sir, absolutely, it slows down.
How so? Talk about that.
You know, like I was saying, you're able to anticipate. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I see this guy, his body language, he's leaning, he's on his heels maybe, you know, something like that. And another thing, you know, Graham, I think I improved during the season. Graham made massive improvements, and he was able to help us. You know, if your quarterback's able to say, you know, this guy's coming, you know, you're not shocked. Your quarterback's pointing it out. So I feel like that definitely helped and slowed it down for him.
How smart for this offense to have the quarterback center combination returning?
So number one, Graham Mertz is incredibly smart. He is super intelligent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
So I feel like it's a big thing. You know, I think really highly of Graham. I think he's a leader of men. I think he's a really smart guy, like I just said. And, you know, year two in the system, you can only imagine the improvements he's capable of. You know what I mean? So I think it's big.
Are you at that point? I've heard a lot of centers talk about their quarterback that they can just look at each other and they automatically know what the other one's thinking. Are y'all kind of at that point?
I don't think we're finishing each other's sentences just yet, but that's we got a long spring and a summer to work on that. But no, there's definitely a good connection, and I can see kind of through his eyes sometimes. You know what I mean?
How about the chemistry and the camaraderie of the offensive line room? Coach Shale and Coach Napier seem to think that this could be a really tight unit. Oh, I know it's early, but what are your thoughts about maybe some of the new faces and how they're blending in?
Man, I think we have an awesome room this year. I think that we brought in two guys out of the portal, Devin Manuel and Brendan Crenshaw-Dixon, that are awesome, super high character guys who have a lot of in-game experience and are more than capable football players. So I think, you know, that two new faces right there, so off the bat, improved. I think that young guys are coming along at a really rapid pace. Bryce Lovett, Rod Kearney, obviously Najee Harris, he was able to contribute as a freshman, which is unfathomable to me in my career. But, you know, there's so many young guys. Caden Jones is going to be a monster football player. And it's one of those things, like, playing offensive line is such a development-based and development-oriented position. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not everybody is like Najee Harris, where he's, you know, mentally and physically gifted enough to go out there and strap it up day one with the ones. But, you know, being able, like Coach Sale and Coach DaCosta and, yeah, Coach Stabe, what they were able to pour into us and how they helped and how they developed us, I think that was the biggest thing.
All right, good stuff there from Jake Slaughter. And look, I know we have discussed system continuity when it comes to if Billy Napier should hire an offensive coordinator or not, and the combo of, you know, Jake Slaughter and Graham Mertz returning together in this offense should be seen as a plus. And another reason why blowing up the offense probably wasn't going to happen. Some mass change in the offense didn't need to happen. You know, the jump in offense is more than likely going to come from inexperienced quarterback coming back, and that extends to the center as well. You got a good combo there. This will also help, hopefully, help some of the protection issues we saw last season. You know, we have heard Mertz say that's something he needs to get better at, and, well, having your center back should help that come along as well. You know, this should also mean a better start to the season on offense. It took until about midseason for the offense to start clicking more, and, look, that makes sense. Mertz was taking over for Anthony Richardson and didn't have Slaughter having to play his first start on the road at Utah. You know, he had to fill in for Kingsley as Kingsley was injured there. So that showed up in the Utah game, the inexperience of working together. And, you know, that shouldn't be the case this season. This Florida offense with Graham Mertz returning, the center right in front of him returning, should pay off, hit the ground running on offense. You know, Mertz, Slaughter have a season worth to build on now. And then, of course, credit to Slaughter, getting better each and every week. You could really see the experience and the development pay off for him. And your Pro Football Focus has him one of the better centers in the country right now. And, you know, he can be a leader of this group given all the experience he brings back this year. So a year ago, you know, he's going through this process in spring practice a year ago. Hey, I'm the backup. You know, Kingsley's the guy. Well, that was the thought process. That's not it now. We're here a year later, and this is his spring. His spring to get the starting reps. He's prepping as a starter, building on that relationship with Graham Mertz and now his fellow offensive lineman. So as for, you know, the player that will back him up, Roger Kearney. A lot of good things being said about Roger Kearney behind the scenes right now. And you heard Coach Sale say it. And it just kind of extends what I've been hearing the last few weeks as far as Roger Kearney goes. Sale mentioned just how much of a leader he was, even on the scout team. Last year, true freshman. He said that's just what he does. Sale says he looks forward to Kearney pushing for a starting spot behind Jake Slaughter. Look, I think Slaughter wins the job, but from what I can gather the last few weeks, Kearney is someone the staff is very, very excited about. Added some really good weight last year, a lot of muscle last year, within the last year. So this is a healthy, healthy competition for Florida at the center spot. So, guys, what do you think? Is it, you leave comment, of course. Am I too hopeful, too optimistic on the offensive line? You know, I think if we look at the offense as a whole, the biggest questions for me are offensive line and wide receiver. Wide receiver has the better playmaker, has the better single player. But as a group, I think I feel better about the offensive line right now more than I do wide receiver. And I got questions, of course. There's a lot to prove after the last couple of years. 2022, you had great run blocking with Osiris Torrence as the anchor and him in the lineup, but pass blocking was, you know, okay, but Anthony Richardson did bail that offensive line out a good bit. Last season, pass blocking was still an issue. Graham Mertz can't escape like Anthony Richardson. Took a ton of hits last year. Some of those his fault, but the blocking wasn't there for the most part. Graham Mertz taking a ton of hits. Run blocking was nowhere near as consistent. So this needs to be a bounce back season. I really do like what Florida has here with the first 7-8 guys. There is some depth. I think more depth than there has been as long as the transfers pan out. Well, all this comes with the realization, you know, it's not a known for this group that there will be this huge jump, that there will be a huge reliability instead of a liability. A lot to go through this spring, summer, fall camp. Hopefully this is a group they can lean on. I'm hopeful. So do you see it too? Am I too optimistic here? Am I too hopeful? Throw some comments in there. Let me know what you think about this offensive line. I know it's a polarizing group right now. While there is some hope, we got to see it. Of course, there's a lot more to cover this spring and a lot more to cover in this episode as well. That's why I've turned to Magic Mind. I need to be focused, and that's what happens when I'm taking Magic Mind. You know how it is. Springtime rolls around. Everything bursts into action. For me, it's a whirlwind of spring football. Clocking in full-time at work, spending quality time with the family. I mean, this week's spring break. I mean, I got a lot going on. This big juggling act, and look, that's why I started using Magic Mind. It really helps me stay focused no matter how crazy things get. Now, I like soda. I like coffee. I like the occasional energy drink, trying to slow those things down. But honestly, I just want to live healthier, and I need a sustainable way to maintain my energy levels throughout the day, and that's what Magic Mind provides. Little bottle of Magic Mind offers the mental energy and focus I need to produce Gators Breakdown and stay active in other life areas. It's made with all natural ingredients sourced from top quality suppliers. And Magic Mind is also sugar-free, nut-free, vegan, and friendly for those on keto or paleo diets. So if you're having trouble being 100% some days too, then I encourage you to try Magic Mind. You can get it at magicmind.com/gators. Use code GATORS20 to get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. It also works if you're already a subscriber, so you can save on your next subscription payment. Get the 30-pack for the best value. One more time, that's magicmind.com/gators. Use code GATORS20 to get up to 56% off your first subscription of Magic Mind. All right, let's keep it going. Right here with a little bit of recruiting. Lots to get into. And let's go to the quarterback spot. We all know the two big names, Antoine Hill, Ryan Montgomery, for the class of 2025. Those guys at the top of the board. But next up, looks like it will be four-star Texas quarterback Keelan Russell. Throw his highlights up here for you guys. But out of Duncanville, Texas, four-star quarterback announced his commitment. He's committed to SMU back in September. But despite that pledge to the Mustangs, other programs, of course, are still coming at him. 6'5" or 6'2.5", 175-pound quarterback. About 6'2", 6'3", Florida, Houston, Ole Miss, UCLA, or possible destinations for Russell's official visits, and a Florida visit would likely happen sometime in the summer. He's already confirmed an official visit to SMU on May 17th, also likely to visit Baylor on March 30th and make a trip to Houston in the spring. But in the coming weeks, hopes to visit California, Texas, Texas A&M. He did say, quote, "SMU stands very high for me right now. That's the school he's committed to," Russell told Olin3. "But as of right now, I'm still very much open. I'm still taking college visits and still talking to other coaches." Florida did host Russell back for an unofficial visit February 3rd. Florida made a big impression on him during his first time in Gainesville. He said, quote, "I love it down there," Russell said. "When I visited, I got to see some of the players and see how they live and what they do on a regular basis. I got to see a lot of things that made me think Florida can probably be one of those schools I could attend in the next few years." Of course, his main contact, offensive analyst Ryan O'Hara, who works closely with Florida's quarterbacks, also communication with Billy Napier. So, as I said, 6'3", 175, just outside the top 100 overall players if you combine the 24/7 sports and all three rankings. Andrew Ivins gives this analysis from 24/7 sports. "Elite playmaker for the quarterback position that can beat defenses with his arms and legs. Has been surrounded by an all-star cast the past 2 years, but has done more than just steer the boat, as he often delivers in key moments. Accurate to the first two levels and gets the ball out fast. Slides around the pocket with his limber movement patterns, has both the speed and agility to turn scrambles into back-breaking gains. More of a one-read anticipatory thrower at this stage, but isn't afraid to plant his flag and take a hit as he scans the field. He's also proven to be a rather efficient distributor on the move with the touch to drop passes in the tight windows. Should be viewed as one of the more exciting signal callers in the 2025 cycle. Must keep improving as a decision maker and working on the fundamentals, but has what it takes to provide some fireworks on Saturdays. Enters his senior season with a 29-1 record a 69.6 career completion percentage. So this past season, 2023, led Duncanville to a 14-1 record and its second straight Texas 6A D1 state title. He was 189 of 262 for 72.1%, 3,483 yards, with 38 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Also ran for 361, 6 touchdowns, averaging 5.82 yards per carry. That was this past season. 2022, he took over for upperclassman Jameer Willis in the season opener, ended up leading Duncanville to a 15-0 record in the Texas 6A D1 state championship. He was 170 of 254, that's 66, about 67%, 2,377 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 203 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns, 4.83 yards a carry 2 years ago. So if it's not Antoine Hill, if it's not Ryan Montgomery, this seems to be the target at the quarterback spot Florida's going after. We'll see if he makes that visit. A lot of other schools in the mix as well. Highly rated quarterback. Does he stay committed to a school like SMU? We'll see. We'll see. We'll see where Florida goes. I mean, Montgomery, Florida, South Carolina seem to be the two schools leading. South Carolina may seem to be the school trending right now. Antoine Hill, let's wait and see. Not a whole lot. He's going to take some visits, of course, as well. I think Texas A&M may be a school to look out for. But certainly, three good quarterbacks here. Hopefully Gators end up with one of them. All right. So let's go to the next storyline. And if you guys, when we previewed recruiting of about a month ago, and I mentioned when we were at the wide receiver spot, getting a big body wide receiver. So let's get into that a bit. You know, last cycle, Florida landed two wide receivers, Jarae Hawkins. He comes in at 5'9", 165. Tawaski Abrams, 5'11", 175. Before that, you know, had Aiden Mizell, 6'2", 180. Andy Jean, 6'1", 180. Trey Wilson, 5'11", 165. Now, at the time, that's what Florida needed the most. We needed speed at the position. About time to balance that out. Now, if we look at it, that could come, you know, a bigger body receiver. Now, we know Billy Gonzalez, his history there, more known for that bigger body wide receiver, especially going back to the Mississippi State days under Dan Mullen. And then the late recruiting under Dan Mullen, that was the same type of receiver, bodybuilder they were bringing in. Can go back to that some. I don't think it needs to be fully that. And that's kind of what was happening. A lot of those guys in that late cycle haven't panned out. You know, Marcus Burke, Quavion Frazier are two guys we are looking at. You know, the bigger body receivers. Hasn't panned out that way yet. But down the road, Florida's going to need some bodies like that. So who are we looking at? That could come in the form of a legacy recruit, the son of former Gators tight end Cornelius Ingram. Cornelius Ingram II would certainly provide much-needed size at the wide receiver spot for the Gators. 6'4.5", 195 pounds, has a frame to become a problem once, you know, looks like he'll be switching positions if he wants to play for the Gators in the college game. Played quarterback. He's led his team to state titles the last two seasons. But looks like wide receiver may be his position if he were to choose Florida. Florida loves his potential as a receiver. He has Florida near the top of his list. Louisville is also in pursuit, but they want him as a quarterback. So we have to see what decision he wants. What does he want more of? He's admitted he loves Florida. Grew up a Gator fan, of course, with his dad. But we have to play wide receiver at Florida. If he continues to want to play quarterback, then you may have to go elsewhere. But look, to take his versatility even further, Ingram also has the green light to also play basketball at Florida, just like his dad did back in the day, too. So Florida's going to be hard to beat, given it feels like home, a longstanding relationship with wide receiver coach Billy Gonzalez, the proximity to family, decisions likely to come in the fall, according to Ingram. Let's keep it going. Joshua Moore, Pembroke Pines, Florida, another big body receiver that, you know, Florida's been high on for a while. Three-star made a few trips to Florida already, including two trips this year. Is going to be back the weekend of May 31st, June 2nd for his official visit. He looks forward to seeing how the experience of making, you know, he wants to see how an extended visit for Florida will go. He was just on campus March 9th to watch the Gator spring practice. And look, he paid attention to the position, the wide receiver position, but also mentioned he wanted to see quarterback DJ Lagway. And Moore said he came away impressed with DJ Lagway. And came away with, look, that's the quarterback that's going to be more than likely throwing me the ball if I come here. Moore, 6'3", 205 pounds. He's been made aware that, you know, Billy Gonzalez having some previous success of developing big body receivers like that. It's been a strength of his. And it's an appeal for him. In 2023, he finished his junior campaign with 50 catches, 835 yards, and 9 touchdowns, according to Max Preps. He helped Wes Broward make the Florida 4M playoffs. Before that, in 2022, he had a breakout sophomore season, hauling in 50 passes for 1,034 yards and 11 touchdowns. Florida's in the mix here, but we'll be battling, hey, big boys here. Florida State, Georgia, Miami, all be getting visits. He's interested in those schools, but his decision will likely come before the season. So, yeah, three star, not highly rated is more, but you got some in-state rivals interested. Georgia's interested. Offer list pretty good. And then let's not forget Ashton Ansley from the state of Texas. Brought him up about a month ago, 6'5", 190 pound. He's mentioned Florida as his leader before. Has an offer from Ole Miss, South Carolina, Louisiana Tech, Arkansas State. Hauled in 32 receptions for 689 yards and 11 touchdowns. He said the Florida offer means a lot to him. It's a top school that he's considered playing for. He told Gators Online, my family and I already plan on coming to visit for the spring game and also Friday Night Lights in the summer. So let's keep it going. And let's take a look at maybe Florida's next commitment. And that could be coming pretty soon. Really should be coming pretty soon. March 31st. That's a date to look out for. Maybe in the wide receiver room. Kobe Howard. So his highlights up here, if you're watching the YouTube version. But he's going to commit March 31st in the state. He's down to 8 schools ahead of his March 31st commitment date. Florida, Florida State, and Tennessee are the 3 schools that seem to be breaking away ahead of this date. Florida just got him on campus this month. Feels like the Gators made a big move in his mind. Now, I could see him leaning towards Florida right now, but the question is where he is at on Florida's board. He's about the same size as Vernell Brown III, so this one could be tricky. You know, Florida may trail for Brown, but that one isn't over by any means, as it looks like Ohio State has the current lead. So would this be a wait and see? Would it hurt Florida now? Is Florida showing enough interest? You know, Howard mentioned he feels like a major priority from the Florida staff. So I could see him being the next commit in the 2025 cycle. In the end, it looks like a Florida-Florida State battle. Howard transferred into Shamadon Madonna prep ahead of this coming up senior season. But last season caught 65 passes, 1,065 yards, 8 touchdowns, as a junior at Western. He helped the Wildcats reach regional finals of Florida's 4M playoffs. Also carried the ball 26 times for 224 yards, 4 touchdowns, while passing for 108 yards. Returned a punt for a score on special teams. And then in 2022, a couple seasons ago, missed a significant chunk of his sophomore season at Pensacola Catholic due to an injury. Still caught 13 passes, 176 yards, and a touchdown in 2 games. But then in 2021, as a true freshman in high school, caught 70 passes, 108 yards, and 8 touchdowns at Pensacola Catholic. So he says the staff at Florida has shared that they like him all over, but wanted to get the ball in his hands, similar to how Florida uses Trey Wilson. So you can see, you know, looking at the highlights here, a decision coming pretty soon. This could be Florida's next commit. Florida State battle. Tennessee maybe on the outside looking in. That's where we're at right now with Kobe Howard. All right, so we'll keep it right here at wide receiver. Mention Vernell Brown. Vernell Brown III says he will visit Gainesville on Thursday of this week, March 21st. And look, he's Florida's best chance at a highly ranked wide receiver, I think. You hope the legacy could pay off. Doesn't seem that's going to be much of a factor. Florida's just going to have to do their job here. But the best chance of getting a highly ranked wide receiver. Look, it's so odd that Florida, it's hard to get traction at this wide receiver spot for the highly ranked targets. Now, there's been some good pickups. It's not what I mean at all. But, you know, when you look at the highly ranked prospects and the targets, and we know there have been big names and targets, Florida can't seem to crack through. You know, even given DJ Lagway, the number one quarterback of the last cycle, you got him committed, but it was hard to bring in a big name last cycle. Not off to a great start this cycle. The way it looks right now, there's still plenty of time to go. I'll fully admit that. But with just where it sits right now, this doesn't look like there's a trend for a big name receiver. Brown's about the best chance right now of Florida getting one. So we'll see if some things change. Does Lagway get more playing time in the fall and excite some recruits and you maybe get a big name down the road? Sure, that could absolutely happen. But right now, it just doesn't look that way. All right, there we go. That'll do it. Getting you caught up. Spring practice. Spring practice number 3 in the books. More coming along. We'll hear from Austin Armstrong later this week. We heard from Ron Roberts on that side of the ball already. But we'll hear from the second-year defensive coordinator for the Gators, Jason Marshall, as well. And then, as I mentioned, Trey Wilson next week on Gators Breakdown. Really looking forward to that one. So that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. I am your host, David Waters. You can find me on social media at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thank you for joining me on this episode of Gators Breakdown.